100 Word Stories.
Hello, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon, the host of the 100 Word Stories podcast at One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. I'm not dead yet, so let's do some stories. And it's Sunday, so it's weekly challenge. Ooh. That's where I post the topic, you come up with the stories. All sorts of fun happens. Remember, this is the universe that unicorns are not ponies with horns, but ponies are unicorns without horns, and Pegasuses without wing. How do you say Pegasus? Crap. Well, anyway, there's a whole bunch of stories this week on the topic of South. Some of you didn't like the topic. Some of you loved it. It can't please everyone. Actually, you can. That's called an orgy. Well, except for the person who has to clean up after it. So, do we want to get on with stories? We got a whole bunch of folks here. Some people coming back after a long break that I didn't tell to eat a bag of dicks. Yeah, let's just put that ugliness behind us and move on to new ugliness. So, first up is going to be Muncie, and then you can check out what they wrote. If you can't understand a damn word they said, it's over on the site. But enough from me. Let's hear some stories.
Greetings, Saints, from Munzee, here with a story for you that I hope will warm your heart. Winter, by Christopher Monroe. I can't deal with winter. Seriously, this is getting ridiculous. It's cold as balls, and I'm not going to put up with it. And neither will my balls. I'm going south. Birds go south for the winter, and so do elderly Canadians. And while I'm not elderly, I'm certainly Canadian, and I'm sick of this weather. The time has come to go the fuck south. As far south as it's possible to go. I'm going to Antarctica. Wait, that might be too far. Well, I've said it out loud. Antarctica, it is. Hopefully it'll be a little warmer. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's my post-winter story, Saints. And I think you understand why I didn't write it during actual winter. It would have been too real.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 464 on the topic of South. And since South makes me think of warmth, it's pretty appropriate for today since it's supposed to have a low of 5 degrees overnight. For people on the metric system, I think that converts into freaking cold. So maybe some of these stories will evoke some warmth. Anyway, my first story is called Spring Training. The first sign of spring isn't a robin, or those funny flowers that poke out of the ground far too early for comfort. Spring is just around the corner, and the long winter nearly a mere unpleasant memory, when the first spring training baseball game gets underway. The game makes for boring television, but is a welcome break from the news of yet another snowstorm. Gio Gonzalez takes the mound for the first time since the playoffs, the wiry southpaw shaking off the rust as he tries to locate his pitches. Spring is time for renewal and the promise of life, and the time when every baseball team is still undefeated, making plans for its World Series appearance. Such is the power of warm weather. And my second story is called Snowbirds. The mass migration south started in October. A few cars at first, a few extra one-way tickets to places like Miami, Tampa, Naples, Fort Lauderdale. Then comes the deluge. Airports are a hive of activity, filled with walkers and wheelchairs. Usually empty restaurants are booked days in advance. Shopping center parking lots filled to the farthest rows. Highways slow to a crawl with traffic, white puffs of hair barely peeking above the dashboards of large American cars with license plates from New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. The snowbirds have migrated south once more. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, this is Richard. And I'm very, very uninspired. So I've got just one story for you this week. It's George's story, part 97. Big disappointment. Do you realise what it cost me to get you the chance of this tryout? And you've made me a laughingstock with your antics. Julie's onslaught was relentless. I can wave goodbye to any chance of promotion myself now. And as for that floozy, that Emily woman, what the hell were you thinking? George held up his hands defensively. I'm sorry, Julie. I really had no idea. He gave his wife the puppy dog look that never failed. Forgive me? Forget it, sunshine, she replied, giving him a look several degrees frostier than a cold day at the South Pole. That's it. Hopefully next week I'll be more inspired. But if not, who cares? Until then, goodbye.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. Story Total is doing just quite well, 7,548. Story Average has taken a major drop over the last 6 months. We are now flatlined at 16.27, which matches our weekly number of stories. Movement. John leaps over both Jeff of Great Heights and Spate to take the 26th position with 68 stories posted. Serendipity moves ahead of TJ to become the 16th monkey, and next week he will pass Cliff, Uncle Monster, placing him just next to Lizzie. In the quest for iron, Lizzie is 79, Tura 76, and Richard is 95. And of note this week, your humble scribe will post his 600th story for the challenge, and site total of 750 stories. And I've got two stories this evening. The first, an artist as an old man. I was born in the South, but I'm no Southerner. My people have hugged the northern Great Lakes for 300 years. I was a Navy brat, delivered in a Navy hospital, Bethesda, Maryland. Before you South Carolinians or Georgians start your rant, let me point out the fucking Mason-Dixon line, the one that clearly marks Dixie, separates Pennsylvania, the North, from Maryland, the South. Stop. Don't give me, well, it wasn't in the Confederacy, because it was full of federal troops. You don't get to choose where you're born, but if you're lucky, you get to choose where you die. And story two, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, closing in on that 100. As the snake spoke, he had the lilting tinge of a southern accent, a mid-Atlantic Channel Island drawl. He carefully and clearly listed the branching outcomes of each choice laid before the boy. But much to Timmy's dismay, the end result was the death of one or both his parents. I don't really have a choice, do I? Wait a second. I've already made my choice, didn't I? Took you long enough to figure that one out, Pilgrim. Then what are we waiting for? For him. The doctor appeared. Do it, said Tim. Do it, said the snake. And that's it for this week. How do I turn this off?
Greetings, kitty gatos. Here is my story. Well, maybe I should have introduced myself first. So, greetings, kitty gatos. This is the Kimi. And here is my story. It's called Southern Belle. For the weekly challenge, South. That's the topic. I'd followed her for months. Through swinging doors, musty heat, glares, and flies. And that scent. Putrid mixture of tears and rot gut whiskey. Maybe this one's it. I counted three men playing cards, a slim man and a barkeep. I'd have one left for her even if things went south. The barkeep moved toward me, my hand now on my Colt. Room went silent and still. I whispered, "Whiskey." I tossed my money in a mangled poster on the bar. "Where is she?" He said, "Gone. 2 days ride that away." He looked up and whispered, "Room number 3. Get the grave digger." Well, my kitty gatos, I hope you enjoyed the story. Once again, this is the Kimi, and you can reach me at kimi.com. Yes, that's KEEME.com. Much love, and I hope to see you soon. Ciao.
Hello, everyone. Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. "South?" the man said, but Peter's sense of orientation relied much more on pointing and showing the way than cryptic instructions like north or south. "Thank you," he replied, trying to look savvy in the secret ways of finding the way. He walked aimlessly through white aisles past the milk and butter shelves, the yogurts, and some mysterious small bottles announcing that they'd make anyone's lazy intestines work just fine. "South, huh? Why is it always so difficult to find someone who can give a clear, objective reply to a clear, objective question? Where are the bodies? It seems simple enough." And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodkoff.blogspot.com. And don't forget, Saturdays at noon, Second Life time, I'm at Milkwood hosting a write-in in Second Life, of course. And I'd love to welcome you there. Okay, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. You have precisely 1 hour, and your journey will take precisely 1 hour to complete. In precisely 1 hour and 5 minutes, a 20-ton truck will thunder over the spot where I have left her lying. Reach her first, and all will be well. You now face a choice: north, south, east, or west. Choose correctly and she lives. Otherwise, the truck wins. But I am not entirely heartless. I will tell you which road to take. But do you have wisdom enough to hear me? So, choose well, and you will find her. Stretched out upon the highway.
Hi, this is Kimmy with my submission for this week's 100-word challenge, South. Bolting upright from a suddenly evaporating dream, I grasp at the receding tendrils of details and emotions. Reaching for my ever-present pencil and notepad, I fix my gaze upon the vintage Baby Ben alarm clock perched on the nightstand. With its nearly perfect crystal face and modern numerals, the timepiece is a powerful talisman which aids in the recollection of my dreams. My mother brought it north with her when she fled the South in 63, the year I was born. Aha! The dream congeals. I fill 2 complete pages with the ongoing saga of my sleep time life.
Two Rivers I Know here, with a story on South. In Oran, the east wind brings rain. The west wind brings salt spray from the far oceans. The north wind brings cool respite after the hot season. but the south wind is feared. Le catamaran, it is called, the mad wind of Oran. It throws its stifling heat like a heavy blanket over the hot season, and brings desert dust that stings the eyes and wears at the lungs of those who must work outside, however they mask their faces. When a man goes berserk with a machete and murders half a village, people shrug and say, "C'est le catamaran."
Hello there, Ari Gaffer here. Isn't this a rare occasion? Well, I also pestered some friends to submit, so I have to submit also. And since I am of the North, and this topic is of the South, I couldn't resist. I hope you enjoy Heading South. Splitting headache. Where am I? Ship's hold. Oh, crap. The brig? Shit. Crikey, those Dunedin Kiwis can party. Wait, hold the phone. What am I doing aboard any ship? I'm done with this miserable work. Well, I thought I was. How the heck did I...
Aye, that's Dandy, mate. He lives. A bit pissed up you were at the contract hall the other day. Thought we might lose you. You were so far out. Better learn to control those urges, eh?
The other day... At sea? A day? What heading?
South.
Yeah, but south from Dunedin is... Oh, shit, no! I generally try to avoid situations like that, and I hope you enjoyed the story. We'll see you next time.
Across America, starting at...
God is my witness, they're not going to lick me. I'm going to live through this, and when it's all over, I'll never be hungry again.
I received a letter. Channel Space. Using the prompt of South, this 100-word story is called Going South. Shall we go there now?
Uncle Fred went south. Not south to Florida, or the Bahamas, or anything like that. South, like a direct faceplant into his plate during Sunday dinner. South, as in dead. Nothing ruins the pleasantries of a nice home-cooked meal like someone dying and triggering an improvised mashed potato and gravy explosion. Snow sat wide-eyed, splattered, with a collateral damage. Dim articulated that one single syllable vulgarity that he would offer as commentary towards just about any variety of circumstance. Me, I called the ambulance. But not until after we had finished dessert, Uncle's favorite, baked Alaska, Southern style.
Well, that's it. Thank you listeners for listening and thank you Lawrence for hosting. Hope you all have a good week, and come back next week, you hear? Until next time.
Don't make a fool of yourself, Maggie.
I don't mind making a fool of myself over you.
This is Zach Mann, here goes. It's been quite the experience wintering in Lake Winnipeg, but now it's spring. If there is anything I have learned in the past few months, it is that the red part of the compass points north And the Red River of the North runs south, said Joe. Yeah, Joe, we have great memories. The locals coming to see the people from south of the border and the Mounties stopping by, said Ben. Yeah, sure, you betcha, but just telling us we were so screwed wasn't the least bit helpful, you know, said Joe. Now heading south, to North Dakota and beyond.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 464 with a prompt of South. Check out Chanillo.com. They're looking for more authors to create ongoing series, and to try and get paid for it. So if you're interested in creating a series or publishing a series through Chanillo.com, check it out. It might be worth the money. Who knows? Check out the Pariah Podcast. We're at 5 episodes now. And I'm working on the chapter book to come out on Amazon. So here's my story. So are you saying you don't like my name? Or that you think I should act more like a boy? Bambi asked. Durgle could see their evening was taking a quick turn south, and searched for a way to repair the conversation.
I like your name, he said and swallowed. Really, it's too pretty for boys. It's pretty like you, even with your braces.
She almost smiled. Then the last line must have sank in.
You think my braces are ugly? She asked. No, he swallowed again. I'm sorry you cut your lip and the stupid monkeys were on strike.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Why do we fund all those research stations down at the South Pole? Well, they were making lots of discoveries. Have you ever said that something went south? Well, they were finding all the things that have gone south. Plans, terminally ill grandparents, that kind of thing. They funded the research project by collecting up all those things that went south and selling them on eBay. The project was going great for a while, until it went south. That's when the researchers discovered the mythical 91st degree south latitude. And then wished they hadn't, because things are really fucked there.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of South. For a second there, I forgot. It's right in front of me on the screen. Ah, daylight savings time. It will mess you up for decades. Why do we keep doing this crap to ourselves? Okay, well, that's it for this week. I will see y'all next week. Next topic is going to be paint. One a day until the day I die.com. I'm not sure why I keep telling you guys this stuff. You know it already. If you don't, it's not like you're ever going to remember. I'm not going to remember. That's why I'm just babbling right now. Thank you for listening and being a part of the weekly challenge. And, as always, keep it brief.